Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Friday, August 16th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, Dwayne, it's Friday.
It is Friday, Kevin, and I'm very excited by this show because I just read your preview tweet that I retweet every day to tell people the show started, and we're doing a weekend review. So I'm excited. When did you get the time machine?
Okay, so there's a P missing in that one. So happens. You should see my predictive like text when I talk to people. It's all about soccer. So I'm like, how you doing, dear? Instead of dear, it writes like defenders, like stuff like that, because I do write a lot of soccer words in a day. Well, how is everyone doing? It's Friday. We're going to preview the weekend a little bit later on in the show. We're also going to talk about the NWSL on TSN. We're going to start there. Also, the MLS Players Union has taken sides earlier this week by condoning the Major League Soccer's rule on bans on a certain amount of supporters' banners that were presenting a message to end gun violence. Some of them literally was written end gun violence, but we'll get there. Let's start, though, with the news that came out yesterday, Dwayne, that we were not anticipating. TSN in Canada is the new home of the NWSL, with a weekly game on the main channel and the rest of the games on TSN.ca.
Yeah, and this is good news for women's soccer fans, and it comes off the heels of what we must assume was a very successful Women's World Cup, and bravo for them for doing this. I've long suggested that it made no sense that there wasn't a Canadian carrier of the NWSL, considering the Canadian Soccer Association sanctions that through the allocation of resources to the top players, the Canadian players in the league. And it's a decent level of football. Whenever you watch it, you have an opportunity to see that firsthand. This is very equatable to what you would have seen in France. There's just also news yesterday that there's legit talk to create a club women's cup or a world club cup for the women, which I think is also part and parcel with that. Not what the TSN is, but just in terms of the growth of the women's game, it's all in all good. More football is good. It's nice that TSN is going to continue on in the sport and has positioned itself with this as the home of domestic soccer, with the exception of the Canadian Premier League. And I don't know whether we'll ever see that. I hope that maybe one day we might be able to have some kind of sub-licensing agreement between One Sports or the Media Pro and TSN, because I think that would be ideal, and they could position themselves that way. And that's positive for this. I have a feeling, Kevin, that this might be the Portland Thorns game of the week moving forward. But
pretty
that's
much.
Fine.
So, okay, you have Christine Sinclair, Sophie Schmidt. Okay, you're going to be on TV every single week in Canada for NWSL. But what I thought right away when I saw the news, of course, is, yay, more soccer on my TV, women's soccer on TSN proper and TSN.ca, which is getting a lot more coverage on TSN.ca than before. A lot more properties of sports now from TSN are being used and played on TSN.ca. Of course, there's the aspect of the affordability of the NWSL versus other sports properties that TSN has tried to gather over the last few years. It's a bit more affordable, I anticipate, but there's also the aspect of the rights being owned in the States by ESPN. ESPN is one of the owners of TSN with Bell Media. So there is some sort of working relationship that we're able to facilitate the NWSL being on TV in Canada. But what I'm wondering is, there's no Canadian team in the NWSL. Is that step one? Are we going to get one eventually? Is having the NWSL on our TV the first step of having our own team in the NWSL until we have a league of our own?
Yeah, certainly that is a conclusion that many might jump to, that TSN knows something, that there's some contacts suggesting to them or winking at them, telling them that this would be a good property to get in on with. Now, look, I have long been pushing on this one and looking, you know, talking to people and trying to get some sources out there to tell me information on what the future of professional women's soccer in this country is going to be. We talked to the commissioner of the Canadian Soccer, Canadian Premier League, last week on Two Solitudes. You can listen to that by subscribing for $2 a month or more on our Patreon feed at Sports Podcasting Network. So please do that if you're interested in that. But we did talk to him about the Women's League then, and he sort of implied that things were rosier than he thought, and that the Ontario League One Women's Division might lead ultimately to something spinning off of that. But I've also been told several times over the years that there are groups in this country that are sniffing around at the NWSL, and I do wonder, and I do openly speculate and suggest, I hope and support this idea, that a similar structure to what we see on the men's side
NML,
would work. NWSL team or two. And I think an East and a West solution is ideal for the country. So basically you'd have a team in Vancouver and a team in Toronto, I think, is probably where they'd be. And that, or Hamilton or Ottawa or Montreal, would be fine too. I think that realistically two is probably the cap right now. And then you try and evolve something below that at the Premier League level. And I think that that would be a perfect solution. And hopefully it happens soon. Well, no, I have been told, Kevin, this is all very speculative information, to be clear. I'm not reporting this. I'm not going to report in great detail because the information I've received is not in great detail itself. It's more like winks and nudges, like I just mentioned TSN might have been getting. I've been told that there are two groups, one in Ontario and one in BC, that have seriously sniffed at this, and that there might be something that happens in the next couple of years, certainly not next year, but in the next couple of years. And the NWSL, I think, would be open to it as well. It would just strengthen their overall product. I think as you see the European leagues rise in prominence, and I suggested, you know, this chance World Cup, Club Cup thing might happen too, you're going to want to see the NWSL solidify, and getting some more money into the system and to get another country involved at the top level, I think, would only strengthen their product and make them more able to keep pace with, particularly the French league over there and the English Super League, which is, I think, between those two leagues are going to become very dominant forces in the women's game if they're not already very soon. So yeah, it's a lot of exciting times. Yeah. I mean, we can speculate ahead and say that I personally would love you, Kevin. I'll tell you where I'd want to see it. And again, this is me speculating more than me telling. I actually think Hamilton would be a better choice for it than Toronto, and to tie it into Ford, you have a very, a decent crowd there already. I think you could probably replicate that almost exactly on the women's side. Whereas TS, if you're coming to Toronto, I think ultimately going to be compared to Toronto FC.
And to not have those comparisons would be useful for an NWSL team. And if you go back to the last Women's World Cup, before, yes, it was in Canada, and Hamilton was a big factor in this. But Hamilton has shown that it wanted to support the women's national team program over the years. So I think that is a good idea. I think it could work to make it its own market, too, right? The NWSL team doesn't need to be in a place where there's an MLS team. It could be its own team, and I think that's important. And you add the fact that TSN is going to present NWSL team, this post-World Cup bump in women's soccer seems to have sustainability for once. We'll see if it stays, and we have seen our numbers. In the past, we've talked about our women's soccer number when we do shows about women's soccer and issues and box score, scoreboard type of shows. Audience used to be different. Now the audience is asking for it and are delivering by listening. We have seen our numbers go really up when we have Ailey Carter on the show, when we had Kira McCormack as well, and other important topics, listeners were there. And you add the fact that now the U.S. Women's National Team, for the first time ever, have their own general manager in Kate McGrath. Yeah, I think this time around, there's a certain amount of momentum with the women's side of the game, and we're seeing people buying in, like TSN, like ESPN, with their money, and this is just going to be beneficial in the next 12 months, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And there is just a lot of momentum for it now, and you mentioned our numbers. I think one thing I'll say to that is that there's always been interest in capital I issues around the women's game. And whenever I've written or talked about capital I issues around the women's game, whether it be turf war, whether it be pay equality, whether it be something as sort of political neutral as like knee injuries, which I talked about a few years ago as well. The increase, like there's more ACL injuries in women's game and in the men's game, and how that might be, there might be ways to prevent that. I had a doctor on my old show way back when. That was fun. Anyway, all that stuff sort of draws attention. But what the game is lagged behind on, and particularly in this country, is the scoreboard side of things, as we call it. So when we're talking about results, like if we were to do an NWSL preview show, and we have in the past, or certainly we've done a rap show, we have seen a dip there because there just isn't the exposure to it. So our regular day-to-day listeners, which are what, like 40% Canadian, 40% American at this point, but 40% Canadian in particular, just aren't exposed to the league at all. So, you know, they're hearing names and teams that they kind of have a vague understanding of, but they don't have a context to put them in. So it's not as interesting to them. So this is a step, and exposing people to the product is a great step, and having them interested in all forms of it, right? You can't really follow a conversation about something you don't know anything about. It would be like me listening to a, astrophysics lecture at U of T. I mean, I'm sure the words would sound good, but they wouldn't mean a damn thing to me. That's kind of what it's like.
It's a good example. You can talk about quantum physics all the long lived day. Doesn't mean I understand what I'm going to say. So it's interesting. But for me, it's a step one. We'll see where this ends, but at least it's going to give us one game on TSN to listen, to view, to watch, to cover, and maybe more, of course, on TSN.ca. And who knows, maybe one day we'll have our own team. Now let's move to topic number two of today's show. The Major League Soccer's Players Union earlier this week have condoned Major League Soccer's response to some bans that were deemed political. That all comes after Alejandro Bedoya's end gun violence tirade after scoring a goal in the second minute of a game 2 weeks ago. And since then, Major League Soccer's Players Association, Players Union, have taken sides with the supporters in condoning Major League Soccer's decision to ban political banners. To the most famous one was in Atlanta. There was a black banner with written on it "end gun violence" in white tape. It was confiscated, and other across the league and MLS Players Union have sided with the fans. Now, the cynical side of me, which we're going to get to in a minute, has one way to see this. Well, let's start with the pragmatic side of me. So, okay, the MLS Players Association do not want necessarily political driven, if it's on the right. If it's okay and gun violence like Bedoya, it should be allowed. What is your thought on this, Dwayne? And my cynical side of me says, okay, it's great. It's great that you sided with your supporters. We're coming into the end of the collective bargaining agreement, and both sides are gearing up for maybe a work stoppage, either a strike, most probably. And this looks a bit, and maybe that's just a cynical side of me, maybe that's my prerogative and I'm seeing this the wrong way, but it does sound like a great PR move by the Major League Soccer's Players Union.
Yeah, we'll talk about that aspect of it in a minute, but in terms of the actual decisions, look, I came from a supporters group background. I have, over the course of the years, moved further and further away, although I'm still friends with everyone in there. I still watch a lot of games in 113, not every game, but a lot of games, which is the U Sector section at TFC. I still go to U Sector events. So I am still a member of that world, but I do not involve myself in the day-to-day operation in any way whatsoever. I do not involve myself in the politics, most certainly, and I don't like to talk about supporters groups issues on this show anymore. I used to a lot more, especially in this club football. We talk about it a lot because, I don't know, we just it felt better at the time, but I try to avoid that stuff because I do understand that there are a lot of different angles to look at something like this. And the easy thing for me on a personal level is to say, yeah, of course, anti-gun messaging should be, or gun violence messaging should be allowed. Of course, we should have refugees welcome banners, of course, because I believe in those things personally. But from a neutral journalistic standpoint, I do see that there is a slippery slope to that. And I do understand the instincts by the owners, who have every right to control what's shown in their stadium, to be clear. And I don't think anyone can deny that. They, you know, it's, you don't like to think about that sometimes, but they have that right. But I understand why they wouldn't want that slippery slope to get down there. And my only message is consistency. They, if they're going to allow, if they're going to disallow what I guess we'll broadly call left-wing messaging to be displayed in the stands, then you have to also stamp down on right-wing messaging. And this, here's where you get complicated, because a lot of people don't see things that they believe are just intuitive. They don't see them as political, whereas someone on the opposite side of the issue might. And I'll give you two concrete examples, which most people support. And I am not calling for them to be eliminated from stadiums, but I'm going to point out that there are people that would view them as political, and they, and they're on opposite sides, Kevin. One is military nights, the other is pride nights. Do we, if we're going to eliminate all political messaging in there, then you have to also get rid of military nights, and you have to also get rid of pride nights, because identity politics is political. Military, pro-military messaging is political. Whether or not you see it that way depends on your perspective, depends on your particular leanings, but they are. And they're viewed that way. I know a lot of friends, because I am left. Everyone knows that. I know a lot of friends who hate military night. Kristen Knowles of the Vocal Minority Podcast has not gone to one in years because she will not give them money on those nights. These are big political meanings for them. And you may disagree. You may be more on the right of center. You might even be neutral. Don't view yourself political, but you love the military. You might not view it as political, but there are people that do. There are still people out there that view identity politics as political as well. And for me as a left-wing person, Kevin, I don't understand it, but I do know that it's there. So if you're going to ban political messaging, you have to be consistent about it or all in about it. That's kind of my position on the overall issue.
And I think when you had a big example like Alejandro Bedoya with his post-goal tirade on the sideline microphone, and you decide to not fine and to literally almost accept that rant. It's a positive rant. It was accepted, and it's to end gun violence in a particular climate in the United States at that moment, where just a couple of days before there was two shooting with over 25 people dead. So there's, when you say, okay, this was okay, you're literally giving your supporters the go-ahead to make a banner with that incident as a reference point. Okay, it's okay to say that, so we can do banner saying it. So there's a certain amount of coherency, I think, is important, that if you're going to say yes to one thing, you got to agree to the other. If you're not going to find Bedoya, well, you must have known that there was going to be banners the week after. And they did, because everyone was ready to ban them. So, yeah, it is what it is. But Major League Soccer's Players Association, Players Union, taking sides here. Is it a move driven solely by the mentality of, we're going to need the public on our side in the next 6 months? Is this the best way to do it? Is this a way to create a relationship between us and the supporters, and by association making us on the right side, because we're fighting against this issue, this supporters' opinion issue, the fact that we have a right to be outspoken. So fighting together, fighting alongside someone, makes you in a good relationship. And then when some of them is in trouble, you're more likely to take their side. So is this driven the reaction of the MLSPU in any form, do you think?
I think that, I originally thought of this back. We had a conversation on text, and I think actually I was the first one to reach out to it. So I clearly agree with you. There probably is a bit of motivation to this in terms of it being a PR move from the players as well, to try and get on the supporters groups in particular, as the most vocal of the MLS fans are the supporters groups. They have the most political clout in terms of their, you know, most supporter groups have direct communication with the front office, so that there is value to the players having the groups and the group's leadership in particular on their side when it comes to a dispute with ownership. And we certainly are going to come up into that with the CBA upcoming very soon. So I do think that there was a level of that in the fact that they they made the public statement. They went out so publicly to say this, which is very rare. The MLSPU does not really get involved in crowd issues very often, other than, you know, probably from a safety standpoint, they'd want to be involved that way with the league. But so I do think there's some of that. I don't want to, when I say that, I want to be careful. I do think there are probably, you know, Bedoya, we talked about this, you know, obviously they agree with the messaging that's out there. So yeah, I do think there's an element of that cynicism that is fair. Quickly, Kevin, I just want to go back to just say something for anyone who still is adamant that these messages should be allowed and that the clubs have no right to not allow them to say that. I want you to just do a little bit of thought exercise. And if you want a refugees welcome sign or a end gun violence sign, would you also be okay if someone walked into the stands with a build that wall sign?
Yeah.
Or that's where it comes down to. And I think, I don't want to speak for people, but I suspect a lot of people that are loudest about this to believe that they should be allowed to bring these messages in and their clubs shouldn't have any issue with it would probably be also yelling if a right-wing talking point was brought in as a banner. Yeah. So, and I don't believe at all in the right-wing talking points. I am every bit on your side when it comes to that, but you've got to think about it that way.
Free speech doesn't work only when you agree with them. Like, free speech doesn't only work when it's for your side. It works for both sides. And I have the same idea. For me, it was, would you have a banner anywhere? And that's not just about, like, soccer stadium. It's would you have something on your wall anywhere? And, like, that's how I used to view, example. Would you put something on a T-shirt that you would not be comfortable having on a sign in your lawn? Like, you have to be careful about the messages you do provide everywhere. And if you're not going to be if you're not comfortable having it on your lawn, then why are you showing up with it at a stadium? I can agree with that. And of course, free speech works on both sides. You might not agree, and it is what it is, but it is fascinating to me to see the beginning of a divide now between the MLS, Major League Soccer Players Union, and Major League Soccer proper, and gearing up to the end of the season where there will be very, very heated conversations and meetings and maybe even a work stoppage. So this is, I guess, confrontation number one.
Fair enough. All right, before we move on, I mentioned Kristen Knowles earlier today. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Kristen.
Oh, wow.
The camo jersey's in the mail.
And happy birthday, Kristen. Let's look at the games this weekend in Major League Soccer while we talk, Dwayne, a little bit about the rest. Of course, we're not going to go through all the games in England, in the Premier League. So what game excites you? I know City has a big game, so I imagine this is your game of the week.
Yeah, that's too easy. That's too easy by half. clearly, it's a very interesting game, I think, for a lot of people, and it will be the game that is most talked about in the, you know, both leading into and coming out of it. City Spurs, obviously, we're talking about tomorrow. There's a couple in the Bundesliga. The Bundesliga kicks off this weekend, of course.
Oh, and, today. This afternoon.
Yeah, today. In a few hours, and I already got my Alphonso Davies search, and it's set up to go all day. I will probably watch the Bayern game this afternoon. It's on the main sports net, by the way, for Canadian listeners, and I think it's on main Fox down south. So easy to access that one if you want to watch the season kickoff. But I'm actually going to look at a different Bundesliga game if I can find it, and that's on Sunday. Union Berlin.
Oh, shit,
against Leipzig. It is a clash of ideologies in the most extreme way. You have a very hipster counterculture.
Union Berlin. Community. Speaking of left side, we were talking about the left a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
You got Union Berlin, a very left of center soccer club.
Yeah, and this is their first game ever in the Bundesliga. They're planning a 15-minute protest off the start about Leipzig's business model. For those that don't know, they've kind of done an end-around. Our Red Bull has RB Leipzig, which stands for ball or something.
Rich Ballers. Yeah, that's what it stands for, of course.
Yeah, exactly. So RB Leipzig, but they got around the 51% rule by basically manipulating how much it costs for a membership. So they have the members do own 51% of the club, but it costs like you know, $12 million for a membership or something. So basically only about five people are involved. Anyway, so yeah, there's protests against that plan. But Union Berlin, who are probably going to struggle this year, clearly, as a newly promoted team, are kind of an interesting counterculture. There's kind of a St. Pauli-like team. St. Pauli's almost become a cliche nowadays, though, so it's kind of nice to have another one like this in. So I'm going to try and hunt that one down. That's kind of my game of the week. I guess I'm being a little hipster by picking, you know, I promoted Bundesliga team, but nonetheless, it should be fun.
Okay, then I'll become an hipster too. League One starts as well, and PSG is playing, but they're playing Rennes. And it's going to be a tough game, but that's not because, it's just beautiful images. Rennes is a nice little stadium, nice part of France. There's a lot of great things to visit there. There's a nice little chateau with a lot of history and counter-history to it. It's a nice game, but there's a few interesting games. Okay, PSG is probably going to destroy Rennes, but why not watch PSG without Neymar? It's probably more interesting. And you're going to face Rennes. It'll be a nice little matchup tomorrow. But I am going to watch a Bundesliga today. And, of course, tomorrow I'm going to watch a lot of Major League Soccer. These are the games happening this weekend. We have the Red Bulls versus New England. The famous New York-Boston rivalry. Montreal FC Dallas, Columbus TFC, FC Cincinnati, NYCFC, Minnesota Orlando, Chicago Philly, Sporting San Jose. That's a good one. SKC versus San Jose. Houston versus Colorado. Will there be a coach bump for Houston? We will see. Against Colorado. Real Salt Lake, LAFC. That's a very interesting game tomorrow night. Can Real Salt Lake continue to move on? The fact that the coach was suspended already for three games and then he got fired, it's like the move happened last month. So for Real Salt Lake, they're already in the process of forgetting about their former coach. We'll see if they can do well against LAFC tomorrow night. And to finish Saturday, Dwayne, Vancouver versus DC United. Can Vancouver get a great result against a team that might be unraveling and struggling in front of us? Rooney's on his way out. There's going to be other players on their way out. Only so many games left. They're sliding down. If they don't right the ship, they might miss the playoffs. It's that close in the Eastern Conference. And to finish Saturday, the LA Galaxy versus the Seattle Sounders.
Yeah, and that's one probably your best game of the weekend because there are two teams that are not exactly firing on all cylinders right now. The Seattle's kind of quietly been slumping of late. So that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on there as the West sort of becomes a one-team race at the top, as we've mentioned many times this year. Can LAFC be knocked off in the playoffs? Of course they can. I also, clearly the, you know, Columbus, Toronto is a vital one for locals around where I am at. And I'll be watching the Montreal game as well because,
well, they need to win. Like, if Montreal or Toronto loses this one, it might be hashtag no playoffs. Like, it's that close now. And we're getting to the thick of things. There's 8 to 9 games left across the board.
Yeah, you want to stay within, you know, right now, Toronto and Montreal are in a virtual tie, 33 points. Montreal has one more win, so but they played more. So it's kind of a virtual tie in a lot of ways, and Toronto has an extreme advantage on the goal difference if it ever got to a second tiebreaker. So it's, like I said, a virtual tie. You do not want to have a gap arrive there. Of course, they do play each other in the 24th, so that will be the X game this year. Does CFX always play in the X game? It seems like they always bring them in for the X anyway.
Yeah, usually one of those, and then the end, late to mid-October. So yeah,
they will finish the season. They often finish the season against each other, although they're not this year. It's going to be a battle there too. But I look, if you're still Montreal and Toronto, as much as we're talking about this as about one-off battle between each other, and that is right now what it is, they still are, you know, with a win, Toronto could jump up to fifth, right? Like, or sixth, I believe. So it's not exactly a blowout there. But you want to stay within touching distance. As long as you're in touching distance, and I think TFC in particular, and Montreal for that matter, have managed to, even though their results have not been as good as you would hope over the last week, the rest of the East hasn't either. But if you look at the way the East is going to finish out, these teams are all going to be playing each other a lot over the next 6 weeks. And it will start to spread. You will start to see a click out. And, you know, we saw Atlanta on Wednesday win the Champions Cup for what that's worth. but it might build them a confidence there. I look at that team. I look at how they're playing now. You know, when we look at the early season, I think a lot of Atlanta fans that were calling for Frank's head there might need to go back and delete some tweets because what he was doing was...
It was right, but still, there's... I don't know if you saw, maybe this is for a better show, but Atlanta's season turned around when Josef Martinez started yelling in Spanish at the staff, like at the trainings. I'd be like, you let me do what I do. And he's been scoring goals ever since. So there must be a book on Frank de Boer's first year with Atlanta has to be written at the end of the season because it's interesting what, and entertaining. Let's put it this way.
What a lot of people are now suggesting is that what De Boer did over the early stages of the season was set a foundation of defensive foundation and fitness base that was not necessarily setting the team up to get the best results because he looked, you know, maybe we're giving him too much credit, but he looked at the league and realized it was a playoff league and they just needed to be good at the end. And now that they have that fitness base and defensive foundation, they're allowing them to be more open, which is their strength, and we're starting to see the results turn their way. And as I said, maybe that's giving them too much credit, but that is the current theory that is going around about Atlanta's turnaround in form and their struggles in the early part of the year. But they absolutely look like they are the best team in the East right now. And then with CFC, quietly, they've had a sort of a deficit of games played for a lot of the years, so they've been further down the standings than maybe you'd like to see. But when you look at their overall form since about May, they are right up there. And, you know, in the playoffs, they've never really done much, but maybe they finally have figured out how to utilize that little postage stamp to their advantage. And, you know, if they're playing home playoff games, and then they could go deep as well. So if I was a betting man, which I am, I wouldn't bet for the teams I think are going to win because that's bad betting. That's bad value. Anyway,
it's bad betting in Major League Soccer because Major League Soccer will Major League Soccer, which means the team you're going to think you're going to win most every time is not. But that's something else.
I disagree, though, Kevin, because it's good betting because you get better odds.
True. Better odds, but you win once every, like, 10 weeks?
Hey, you win once every one. Yeah, you could. Sure, you could bet on Manchester City every week, but you're, you know, you're $1,000. You're going to win 1,010. Like, there's no point to it. Why put the risk on?
fine. Okay.
You want to. You look for value. That's how you bet. But that's a different show and a different topic. If a betting company is listening and wants to sponsor us, I'll be happy to host that show.
Yeah, we're going to make a show. Pay us. We'll make a show about betting if you want. Yeah, no problem with that. It's legal now in most of the places where people listen to this show. Canada, United States, over 80% of our listenership, which kind of says that we have 20% of thousands and thousands of listeners every week that are from the rest of the world. That's awesome. We have like people in Pakistan. We have listeners in Dublin. It's like, that's amazing. That's awesome. And it's always, you know, when I'm feeling down and a little depressed or a little like nostalgic, I just open my phone, look at the stats and like, woohoo, I'm big in Japan.
And I'm more than willing to accept euros as payments on our Patreon. Pounds, worth, yen, doesn't matter.
And U.S. dollars. I'll take U.S. dollars too. It all works. But speaking of Patreon, you can support us if you like what we do and you want us to do more, even maybe a betting show in the future. Let us know and let us know with your money at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to the Two Solitude Soccer Podcasts. More shows are coming down the pipeline in the next few months. More things are coming. Big things are coming. Look for announcement in about 2 months' time. But Dwayne and I will need your collaboration, your support, and your cooperation in all the projects that we have going on. And the best way to do so is to go to patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to the Two Solitude Soccer Podcasts. And we accept bigger donations as well, and we thank you, every single one of you that support us, for helping us do this with our time. On that note, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie, and this show at Soccer Today SPN, live Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. on our Twitter feed, then available the video on YouTube, on Facebook, and podcast available everywhere you get your podcast. Make sure you subscribe and download our podcast. This really helps us. This really helps our advertisers and our, basically, our bosses know that we're doing a good job. So we do appreciate that a lot. And on that note, until Monday, as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.